Welcome back to The Restaurant Innovator, a podcast from the editors of FSR Magazine that features conversations with trailblazing chefs, restaurant owners and operators, tech innovators, and other folks in the food service world who are creating elevated experiences for modern guests and employees alike. I'm your host and FSR editor, Callie Evergreen, joined by my colleague and co-host, Sam Danley, associate editor. For today's episode, we actually have three special guests that I'm excited to introduce you to. Celebrity chefs Janine Booth and Jeff McInnes, who are known for their award-winning restaurant Root and Bone, as well as being former contestants on Top Chef, as well as Amari Piedra, managing director for Kariba Royale Orlando. Chef Janine, could you start us off by introducing yourself and briefly walking us through your background?
Yeah, absolutely. So I'm Chef Janine Booth. I am originally from Australia, born and raised there, and I moved to the US about 14 years ago, where I went to culinary school and started in restaurants, staging, like volunteering kind of while I was in school, and worked my way up into, you know, line cook, sous chef, chef de cuisine, worked my way through all the positions, and then eventually opened my first restaurant, Root and Bone, with my work husband and real life husband, Jeff. And we opened Root and Bone in 2014 in New York City. And now we actually have 10 restaurants together all throughout the country and the Caribbean. And Stadium Club is our latest venture together. And we previously worked with Amari, and so excited to be working with him again. He's the absolute best. So, yeah, excited to be working on this project.
Fantastic. Well, we'll go to you next, Chef Jeff.
Hi, my name is Jeff McInnes. I am a chef partner of several different restaurants, and recently blessed to be a part of the Kariba Royale team where we opened Stadium Club. Actually a Florida native, born and raised, lived in and out through California, Virginia, New York, but Florida keeps bringing me back. And I've got some deep southern roots. I was born and raised in the top panhandle of Florida, the Redneck Riviera, if you will. Spent a lot of time in Charleston, South Carolina. So a lot of our flavors, my flavors, come back to this humble southern food. But my wife and I don't know if she told you this because I froze out for a minute there during the podcast. Sorry. But we have a seafood restaurant, which is amazing. It's like a Florida fish house. We have several different Root and Bones, which are awesome little southern restaurants. And then we have a handful of other little things. But our newest and most favorite is Stadium Club, which is a killer sports bar / I shouldn't say sports bar. It's more of a big restaurant with a club environment. And it's a lot of fun. And it's our new baby.
Wonderful. And then Amari.
Hi, thank you for having me on. Like Jeff, Florida native, started in the hotel business when I was 15. I'm not going to date myself, but I'll just say it's been more than 40 years in the hotel business. But it's been 4 years now at Kariba Royale in Orlando. This is we've had the opportunity to reimagine this resort from top to bottom over the last 4 years, over $150 million invested. And it's been going really well. And now the crowning achievement was the Stadium Club. We were able to open that in January with, and of course, with our partners, Jeff and Janine, who've always done a tremendous job. This is the third time we worked together. Miami was one, Puerto Rico was the other, which is still going strong there. And when we wanted to create a different concept and really make something unique for Orlando, obviously I reached out to them right away. So exciting things going on.
So, you know, tell us about the concept behind Stadium Club for our listeners who might not be familiar with it. Where did this idea come from? What's kind of the inspiration behind this?
Sure. I'll take that one. So it's twofold, right? So we're a big 1300 room resort, and it's a combination of convention business and it's a combination of leisure business. And once I got here, I recognized that we needed a hangout spot. We needed a place with energy that would keep our customers and bring in locals, that's got energy at night. So, you know, we went through everything else that we had to do at the resort first. And then we started working on the stadium club concept with a company called Street Sense that I've worked with before about 2 years ago. And we wanted to come up with, it is a sports themed restaurant and bar. It's like a sports bar on steroids because it's got a very interactive component with the simulators. And we wanted to make it an immersive experience that made you feel like you were at a game. Okay. And working with Street Sense, we kept tweaking it and tweaking it and tweaking it until we finally got to where we are right now. And the name came from, as crazy as this, you know, may sound, listen, it's got to be like a club at a stadium. And I remember I blurted out, just call it Stadium Club. And everybody went silent for about 5 minutes. Okay, that's what we'll call it. And so it replicates the feel of being in a stadium. A little bit was copied from SoFi Stadium in Los Angeles, where we have the 360-degree view on the TVs to create that oval-shaped bar and all the viewing around it. We really wanted to have a spot that was going to attract not only the hotel customers, but locals as well. All around in Orlando, in fact, I just read today, Orlando's the third hottest job market in the U.S. So the population keeps growing, and there's a lot of development around us, and it gives those locals a place to go. So we wanted something that would appeal to everyone and something that would be different. We positioned Caribe Royale as a convention hotel with a touch of lifestyle. We're not a brand. We create our own brand. So we have a lot of flexibility in what we do. And we wanted to make this not only a fun place, but also a culinary destination as well, which is where the two folks here with me come into play.
And I'm curious kind of how this partnership got started. I understand you've all worked together in the past. I don't know who wants to take that.
I'll do it, and then I'll let Jeff or Janine. We met in Miami Beach. We opened up a restaurant in Miami Beach together at a hotel that I was managing there at the time. And I then went to Puerto Rico and was managing a resort in Puerto Rico. And we wanted to do something different at the resort. Again, just something that was outside the norm of hotel restaurants. So I reached out to them, and we put a Root and Bone in Puerto Rico, which is now the name changed. So I'll leave that up to them. I forgot what the name is now. But yeah, it worked well, and we've always had good synergy together. It's almost like a family affair. We've always had good synergy together. And then when this came about, it was just a natural to get them involved, because not only are they, one, great people to work with, but number two, excellent culinarians that come up with some great ideas. And three, just, again, people you want to be around, and they've got great names in the industry. Janine, I don't know. I forgot what the name of Puerto Rico is now.
So now it's called Roots Coastal Kitchen. So with Amari, we opened Root and Bone down there, and it eventually transformed into kind of a Southern and Caribbean fusion. And we came up with Roots Coastal Kitchen. So
yeah, we thought that once we started doing some thinking here about what we wanted the food to be, you know, at the end of the day, you know, we're in the South. And we wanted a fusion of some of Janine's, you know, staples that are non-Southern, along with Jeff's staples that are Southern, and what they brought to the table together. And the menu's gotten rave reviews ever since we opened. And I challenge any type of restaurant like this in Orlando to have better quality and more innovative menu than what we have right now, which is kudos to Jeff and Janine.
And while we're on that menu topic, I'd love to hear from Jeff and Janine a little bit about how you went about designing that menu and kind of some of your menu highlights and favorites.
Sure. Well, first of all, I want to just kind of mirror what Amari said. I think, Amari, that's exactly how we feel. We feel like you're family to us, and our energies definitely align. And so I think throughout the creative process, it's just everything really flows so easily. So when we came up with this menu, Amari was like, great, this is awesome. You know, we've been trying to figure out exactly what's going to work here, and we haven't quite hit it yet. But as soon as we came on board and we did our first presentation of the direction, Amari was like, yep, this is really great. This is going to, you know, knock it out of the park, so to speak. And so we've kind of been tweaking the menu as, you know, since we opened in January. But the menu is kind of comprised of fun and elevated sports bar classics. So, you know, there's a huge variety, something for everybody. It's full of entertainment, very immersive, and it does have a nightclub feel, but we're also very family friendly. So we have an amazing kids menu, and then we also have amazing late night offerings if you're wanting to have, you know, just a drink and an appetizer. But, you know, everybody loves wings. When you think of sports bar, you think of wings. So we have an incredible selection, all with not just only different sauces, but all different fun garnishes. We have, you know, of course, our very famous fried chicken, which we have a version of in most of our restaurants. And this one is actually brined in a sweet tea brine. It's got a little citrus dusting when we dehydrate lemons, and our house-made hot sauce, which I could literally drink. It's delicious. And then we have a range of pizzas. We have a tailgating option. So like it's basically nachos, different, like an elote dip, very shareable. And, you know, we have these incredible pods that people can come and literally, it's a simulator where this technology enables you to be a part of whatever sport tickles your fancy, and it's very active. So we wanted to create a menu where it's like you can just kind of snack and graze as you're playing these games. So it's the menu as a whole, there's really something for everybody. You can come in and grab some wings and a beer, or you can get a high-end steak. Every single menu item is like the best of the best, a fun, innovative version of a classic bar dish.
The challenge to the team was, obviously, we want the fried chicken because, again, it's the best fried chicken in Orlando. The chicken and waffles is fantastic. Always get rave reviews. Also challenge them, create the best burger in Orlando. Let's make sure we have the best. So the Royale burgers with a black truffle sauce is really amazing. And everything's elevated. I mean, the wings are over the top. It's got some great sauces, some great infusions. Everything is, you would expect to see some of this, but not of the quality and the way they're doing it, and with some elevated touches that really set it apart from other locations. You know, I went to a place the other day to watch a game with a friend, and, you know, it's like, this is nothing compared to what we're doing. When you feel the quality, and it really is a chef-driven sports bar food.
You know, for Jeff and Janine, I'm curious, like, from the menu development perspective, how did this compare to some of the other projects that you've worked on? Were you able to kind of draw on some of your past experiences, or was this kind of a unique challenge, gave you, you know, a sense, an opportunity to flex your creativity, or like, were there just some special considerations since it's such an experiential kind of different environment?
Yeah, I'll take this one. Yeah, the menu, I guess it's different, sure. It's also huge. It's a big menu. Not going to lie, it was fun when we were doing the tastings and the whole process, because we involved the entire, you know, hotel upper management team, and it was hard to knock things off because everything was so good, I think. So, you know, we wound up with a lot of apps, a lot of starters, a lot of salads, entrees, and, you know, the goal, I guess, you know, usually when you theme or try to, I don't want to say put your brand in a box, you're always thinking about your customer, like, okay, well, you know, I hate to pick on Florida, but we're in Florida, so we're in Naples. So we've got an older crowd here. You know, we need to really think about this older crowd and what they want. But with Orlando, it's kind of anything goes. You've got, you know, you've got the older crowd market. You've definitely got a lot of kids. You've definitely got, you know, the convention middle-aged market. So, you know, I think the best part of this menu and putting it together was, and now seeing it done, is we've brought our kids. Jeannie and I have three kids, and it's actually annoying because they're like, when are we going to Orlando? That's our favorite restaurant in the world. When are we going back? When are we going back? And so when that's said, you think, oh, it must be, I hate this, it must be like a Chuck E. Cheese. It must be something fun for kids. And everything. But then we brought some of our older friends, you know, older in their late 30s and 40s. And they're like, oh my God, this is the best restaurant you guys have ever done. There's so much on the menu, not to mention we can get up and go and hit some golf balls and come back and drink a beer. And so it's this interactive, fun environment for adults too. And then it goes into the late night stuff. So you can find yourself there until very late at night drinking a vodka or whatever and watching some late night sports. So it's, you know, not necessarily just the menu, but the whole environment, the whole restaurant is it's like nothing else we've done. So we probably learned more from this project than people learned from us, I guess. I don't know. We love all of our chefs and cooks, and they're super pumped about the food because there's a lot of interesting and different things on the menu. It goes from, you know, some Southern comfort touches to some regular bar food to there's a little Asian touch. And, you know, it is, like Jeannie said, something for everybody. But I mean, when you look at it, it is. It's a multicultural, amazing, big menu. So, yeah, it's a little bit of everything.
You know, the simulators, when they talk about the pods, the simulators are really state-of-the-art simulators. So there's eight of them, and people rent them out by the hour, whether it be a group of four guys that are here, four ladies, whatever, that are here for a convention, or a family of five or six. And so these are state-of-the-art simulators from a company that works with the PGA Tour. So it's the most realistic golf I've ever seen. There's nothing more cutting edge than what we have right now. And it seats up to eight people, and then people order food, and there's great seating, and the food gets brought to them, and it's really a great experience. And that's kind of what Jeff was talking about. So, you know, you're having this great meal, either sitting at the bar or sitting at a table. All of a sudden you feel, hey, let's go play a round of golf at St. Andrews Golf Course in Scotland, and you program it, and next thing you know, St. Andrews is on the screen, and you're playing a round of golf at St. Andrews while ordering some more beverages and maybe ordering some more food. So it's really been the melding of the two has been really, really good. I think the best thing that everybody's done is we've gotten great reviews from our corporate customers, from the folks coming in with a 900,000 person group. We've gotten great reviews from them, from the meeting planners. But then this weekend, it was basically we were full with families and leisure travelers coming to the parks and doing what you do in Orlando on the weekends. And we got great reviews from them as well. And the place was packed with over 600 people there on Saturday night. So it's been, you know, I think we achieved what we wanted to achieve, was to capture that vibe that we can take care of everyone, and about 20% of our business has been local business as well. So as the word gets out, when I tell you there's nothing like this in Orlando, when the word gets out in the local community, you know, for the Super Bowl, for example, it was probably 50% hotel guests, 50% locals that were there. We were full with over 600 people. So it's been exciting, and again, it's been well received, and the team did a great job on some of the menu items. And it's great because you can have everything from a bao bun to a burger, from tuna tartare cones to great pizzas to, you know, some of the heavier items. And it's been, again, there's been something for everybody. And it's, you know, the way we program that, you never know what's going to happen until the day you open. But you know, fortunately, it's gone very, very well. So it's exciting. Mm-hmm.
Sounds like a lot of thought, intention, and creativity was put into this project. And it's interesting, too, that everything that you're saying seems to coincide with the biggest trends that we're seeing in the restaurant space in general right now, you know, just kind of the melding, the breaking of conventions, of being able to mix different cultural diverse menu items together and then making it super experiential. That's what consumers are looking for, kind of drawing them out of their houses. And so, you know, specifically, Amari, with, you know, hotel restaurants, I know typically people didn't used to think of them as destinations in and of themselves, but that's kind of what you're creating. So I would be curious how you've seen, you know, that evolution of the hotel restaurant throughout the years, throughout your experience.
Yeah, I'll give you this. This is a perfect one, for example. I think that, again, you have to look at it completely different than one did 15, 20 years ago, right? So like Stadium Club, this is a, what's the term I'm looking for? This is an independent restaurant and an independent concept that just happens to be located in the Caribe Royale Resort. And everything that we went after, everything we did, right, was to position this as an independent restaurant that just happens to be in Caribe Royale. And that's what we've done with Jeff and Janine in the past as well. Okay. So, again, you have to, if it's a hotel restaurant, yeah, it might have a little stigma, like you said. But again, this has got its own website. It's got its own social media. It's got its own promotional team. We have a roster of DJs that not only spins during sporting events, because you don't want to hear the commercial, you know, so they come on and play, and even later on into the evenings. And it's really an independent restaurant that happens to be positioned there. And we wanted to create a brand. So we've had a lot of people ask us already, are you going to franchise? Are you going to open more? And I think that's in our future, to be honest. And I'm not talking about one or two. I'm talking about dozens that have asked already. So, you know, I think that's something that we wanted to create. So I think we succeeded with the team in creating that independent restaurant. Again, this just happens to be the location. And then, you know, we'll continue to tweak it. And I think there's a bright future for it. But again, I think you have to take that approach of an independent restaurant as you approach this in hotels nowadays. So whatever you do, you know, if you approach it with an independent restaurateur mentality, I think it'll help guide you not only to create something different, but create something that's very profitable as well.
So, you know, when you're talking about, like, you know, potential expansion in the future, having other locations down the line, that doesn't necessarily mean they would all be placed in a hotel. Is that kind of what?
Not necessarily. Again, you know, the trio and our team here, we've still got some work to do. You know, we want to see what works. You know, Jeff was talking about the menu. I think now, probably a month or two from now, we'll be taking a look at that menu and saying, okay, what worked, what didn't, how do we tweak it? You know, what's next, if you will. And then, you know, who knows? I think in the future we could see another one open, open up in a, maybe an independent location. It could be in a, who knows? It could be in a shopping center. It could be in an independent location. But we wanted to create something that had legs for expansion. And I think that, you know, we're on our way to doing that.
Is there anything that's, you know, kind of surprised you so far since you guys have opened? Any, you know, customer feedback or insights around the menu or how people are engaging with the games? Anything, you know, that kind of stands out that you've gathered so far?
I'll tell you what, you know, I spent a lot of time working in Miami, just like the folks here have. And, you know, a lot of stuff happened later on in the evenings there. And everybody was telling me when we first started thinking about this, oh, no, nothing's going to happen late at night. Well, it's funny because a very good percentage of our business happens between 9 p.m. and midnight, 1 a.m. And that's a combination of things, right? So there could be a group that's at the hotel and they had their official function, if you will, and that ended at 8 o'clock, 8:30, whatever. All of a sudden, you'll see them all pouring into Stadium Club because that became the hangout, right? So that became the place where they're gathering. That's the fun spot where you can have a good time. Same thing goes for people that are here on vacation. They might go to the parks. They might go somewhere else. They come back at 7, 8 o'clock at night. They take a shower. All of a sudden, they're in Stadium Club. So what surprised us, not surprised, but kind of validated, but yet surprised, was that a good percentage of the revenue happens between that 9 p.m. and 1 a.m. time period. There could be an event at the hotel, a catering event. There could be a boxing match. We do a lot of televised boxing at the hotel. But what happens is when it's over, everybody flocks to Stadium Club. which that's revenue that we wouldn't have captured before because we didn't have a hot enough venue, if you will, to do that. So it's been great. But again, the food had to be on point. We wanted to set ourselves apart from a culinary perspective and from an atmosphere perspective. Great sound system, great lighting system. Somebody scores a touchdown, the lights go off, the sound goes off. It's really an immersive experience. But if you don't have the right service and you don't have the right bartenders mixing the right drinks, and especially if you don't have the right food, forget it. It's all going to be for naught.
Mm. And you also seem to be, you know, in a lot of different, you know, categories, so to speak. You know, there's a little bit of sports bar, a little bit of entertainment. There's some, you know, the obviously it's located in a hotel. I'm curious, you know, and anyone can answer this, but how you kind of see yourself standing out from whether it's entertainment competitors or just other brands that are vying for diners' dollars.
You know, I think that, you know, there's other venues opening in Orlando, and a couple of hotels have opened up, I guess what you would call a competitor. But when you go and you visit it, there's not one that has everything under one roof, right? So, you know, we talk about the golf simulators, right? But there's fun games for the family because you can play baseball, hockey, basketball, soccer, football, and then the all-time favorite for kids, zombie dodgeball, right? And so you have that, you have all that in the 8 simulator. Then you've got, you know, the menu that the team put together, which is, you know, again, I'm not going to mention names, but it's unlike anything that's in any other of the venues. And then, you know, I think it also comes down to when you walk in, the energy that's in the place and the service, because at the end of the day, the service counts for a lot, as you know. And we took our time. We hired 100 of the right people. We didn't want to hire 100 people. We wanted to hire, as we call them, associates. We wanted to hire 100 of the right associates. So, and I think we accomplished that. And it's a fun team. It's a young team. It's a fun team. They have a good time. They bring that energy to the stadium club. Our roster of DJs brings that energy to the stadium club, and they're playing the right type of music for the right type of event for the right type of night at the right time of day. So, you know, it's really the combination of the three. You know, again, it's, I guess the, you know, imitation may be the most sincerest form of flattery. And we've probably had 6 of the largest hotels in Orlando come by to say, hey, can we take a peek? Hey, what's going on? Because they're hearing about it. And people have literally said, hey, you know, hey, can we get some more information? And I'm like, no, you come up with your own. Thank you. But yeah, it's, I think that tells you that it's making a mark in the Orlando market. And it's also helping us not only the revenues there, which are new revenues for the hotel, but it's helping us book additional business because the meeting planners that came in and others that came in, you know, we've done a lot of private functions. A group will want to come and, hey, we want to do an event for 30, 40. We've got a skybox, just like if you're in a stadium, we've got a skybox on the second floor overlooking everything. It's got its own simulator, seats about 30, 40. It's great, right? And that simulator can become a TV. So you're a huge TV there watching whatever event you want. And, you know, then the menu gets customized to what they want to do among the offerings that we have there. So, again, it's something that's very different. We wanted to create something unique. And I think that I think we've been able to do that.
Thank you. Yeah. Jeff, kind of going over to you from your perspective, how do you think that the menu at Stadium Club kind of stands out from competitors, you know, not just in the area, but, you know, entertainment concept brands?
By the way, the waffles with the chicken are killer. I don't know what the deal is. I don't know what the secret is. I don't need to know, but all I know is they're killer.
They are addictive. But yeah, I think there's, you know, the food, as Amari kind of touched on, the food, the ambiance, the service, the entertainment, everything has to be at that incredible level. And I feel like with the food, there is an aspect of entertainment in itself we have a dish on the menu. It's a cedar plank salmon, and we take it table side. It comes with this beautiful bright green rice and this Marcona almond romesco, and we take a really high alcohol, high proof rum and pour it over the salmon and light it on fire table side. So there's theatrics in the food, and that creates, you know, another level, another layer of this entertainment or this eatertainment, which that was a new term for me, but I love it. And so there's, you know, we have a stadium club tower, which is just basically all of our killer appetizers on one big tower. It's a three-layered tower that has, you know, these amazing pot sticker dumplings and the tuna tartar cones and some of our wings. And so people can, as you know, as these dishes are arriving to the table, everyone around them, you'll see, like, if a salmon goes out, you'll see there'll be like five more salmons that get rung in because everybody's seeing these things with their eyes. And it's so immersive that you're like, oh my God, I want that. Like, what is that? So we're seeing a lot of that kind of that flow where once something goes out, we'll see it being ordered over and over again because people want whatever everyone else is having around them.
That was one of the things, just to say, you know, we wanted, I'll call it Instagrammable food, right? So we wanted the presentations to be really good. And, you know, the world of social media, and you wanted people taking pictures and posting those pictures about the food and the wow and the this and the that. And, you know, Jeff and Janine did a great job of coming up with that, like Janine just said. So those are Instagrammable moments that just continue to get the word out, and very important. So, you know, we... team did a great job on that.
I'm curious, with that larger menu, with some of those really innovative standout dishes, if it was a challenge at all when it came to training the staff, because like you said, it's Instagrammable, but if you don't execute it right, that, you know, could reflect badly, right?
Great question.
Now, you mentioned, you know, having like kind of those resources for the beverage side as well, which, you know, we've talked about how there's kind of like the nightclub vibe. That's one element here. Can you guys give us just some color on the beverage menu and kind of what's happening on that front? Maybe some standout items there.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, the drinks have some cool names to them, and there's some, you know, fun names around sports, but at the end of the day, the team, the beverage team, the mixology team took it very seriously in creating them. So it's, yeah, as Jeff said, you know, we didn't want to cut any corners and we wanted to make it the best it can be. And the reality is that people don't mind paying if they're getting their money's worth. And if they're getting, you know, we're fairly priced, don't get me wrong, but, you know, as long as you're giving them quality and they realize it, we never hear any negative feedback on that.
Yeah, and these drinks, you know, everything is made with fresh juices and the garnishes are beautiful. The drinks definitely stand up to all of the other elements that are so important. And, you know, you'll see these beautiful drinks go out with these like dehydrated pineapple and these flowers and all these different garnishes. And it's the same effect. People are like, what's that one? I don't even know what's in it, but I want it. It's beautiful. For those like Instagrammable moments again. And yeah, the team has done a really great job with the beverage program.
And it looks like you have some, you know, no hitters on the menu as well. Those, I'm assuming it's not the non-alcoholic beverage options as well, right?
Yeah, so there's a couple of different options. There's a rosemary watermelon lemonade, which is non-alcoholic. It's fresh watermelon juice, lemon, honey, rosemary. There's a cucumber smash, which is really light and refreshing. It's cucumber water, agave, lime, and mint. And, you know, we're seeing a lot of people going that direction. You know, they want to come in and have a great time, but are not necessarily, you know, drinking alcohol. So we want to offer something for them as well. And even the kids are getting into these too, because we're seeing, you know, these very well-educated foodie kids that are coming in and they're like, oh, I want a mocktail. And they're ordering, you know, I'll have a rosemary watermelon lemonade. And those are our kids. Our kids are like that. Because they want, you know, they don't want regular lemonade. They want something elevated and fun and something that they've never had before. So it's definitely something for everyone.
I think our top seller is called the End Zone Elixir. And I think that's one of the top sellers. And it's gin and tonic and some juniper berries and a lime twist. And once people try it, then they always get a second. So that, I know for a fact that's been one of our top sellers. But the team put their own little twist on some classics. And while they have fun names, serious cocktails.
I love it. So one kind of fun question that just popped in my head, what advice would you give to those kids who are foodies right now at a young age who are, you know, may grow up to be in the restaurant industry, may grow up to want to open their own?
Guys?
So right now, we've got three girls, 11, 7, and 3. So the 11-year-old, she's really into it. So she actually comes to work with us sometimes. It was take your kid to work day a little while ago, and Jeff took her to one of our restaurants here in Miami, and it was kind of a funny story. I think there was two cooks that called out that day, and Jeff's calling me. He's like, oh my gosh, like what a day to bring Bryce to our restaurant for her to get, you know, a taste of the restaurant business. And, you know, it's going to be super stressful. And she ended up saving the day. She prepped her little heart out. She must have rolled like 200 kataifi shrimp. She made like a celery root puree in like big batches, not just, you know, like, oh, I'm baking some cupcakes. She was like heavy prep day for Bryce, and she absolutely did such an amazing job. And she's like, when am I coming back? When am I going to get to prep again? That was so much fun. So, you know, whether it's at the restaurant or at home, we are constantly trying to get our kids involved in cooking their own meals so that they're aware of what they're eating and have pride and take pride in creating something, and also understand, you know, where their food comes from, because it's so important for kids these days. Everything, we have so much access to like processed quick foods, and, you know, you can get like an amazing Indian frozen burrito and it takes a minute in the microwave, and you know, kids are eating this stuff, but hey, let's slow it down. Let's take the time to buy fresh ingredients and, you know, chop our own vegetables, make our own meal, and then sit down as a family and enjoy it so that they can appreciate, you know, something that they've created. And so they see Jeff and myself working on, you know, our current restaurants, working on future restaurants, working on menu development, menu design, restaurant design. They see us working through all of this, and they're really interested in it. And I think it starts from, you know, it's easier to quickly prepare a meal without involving your kids, but it means so much to them when you involve them in the process. And it's kind of inspiring for them seeing us work and our hard work ethic. So they're, you know, seeing that as they grow up and through their different stages. And hopefully, you know, we hope that we can pass down our legacy and our restaurants to them, and hopefully they'll take over and continue the family business. But of course, you know, we'll support them in whatever they want to choose.
You know, I think one of the important things is everybody, you know, everybody sees things on television and obviously food TV and everything. And, you know, the advice that I would give any budding restaurateur or whatever is, you know, it helps a lot if you work your way up. There's steps to everything, right? And I started in the hotel business parking cars, for example, in valet parking, and worked my way up. And the appreciation for having gone through the different positions helps me understand the business better and helps me understand what those employees are going through in those areas. Versus, you know, it's the same thing from a culinary perspective. You know, you learn and always be open to learning. Everybody has something to teach you. And, you know, you learn a lot by listening. You learn a lot by observing. And don't be afraid to ask questions. Typically, people are happy to mentor and to share answers with those that are eager to learn. And don't be afraid, you know, a big recommendation to somebody that I just made, some advice I gave them. They said, hey, how did you get to where you are? I said, by listening and learning and keep, you know, and just absorbing. And, you know, you'll be, like I say, you learn a lot by, if you're working in a kitchen and you're working with Jeff or Janine and you're on the line, you're going to learn from them. And, you know, it's the more you learn from them, the better positioned you are then to continue to move up. So that's number one. And always be willing to take risks. You never get anywhere without taking some risk. And sometimes that might mean taking a job that, hey, I got this job, I can't believe it. And you're stretching yourself. But if you don't stretch yourself, you're not going to get to where you want to be. So obviously, you know, listening, learning, absorbing, and taking some risk are always good things to that I pass along to people.
So, you know, kind of wrapping things up here, what's next for the three of you? You know, whether it's getting the word out about Stadium Club, the timeline for, you know, future expansion, markets you're looking at, you know, what's next? What's on the horizon?
Well, I can say that, you know, we've been so happy with the response at Stadium Club that we're creating an outdoor extension of Stadium Club at Carib Royale. So we're currently working on that. It'll be an outdoor area that can be covered with a retractable roof when necessary. But that area will seat about 100 to 110 people. It's going to be really fun. It's going to be cool. You know, very much in tune with Stadium Club. The flooring might be designed as an NFL football field. So hey, your table's at the 20-yard line, whatever the case might be. Some fun stuff. Going to have a big projection screen out there. It's going to have a stage if we want to do some live stuff. And really, that's driven by the response that we've received so far and the requests for private events that we've received so far. So all of a sudden, you can do a 100-person private event out there, and it doesn't impact anything going on inside. Or people just want to be outside in season. People coming from the northern climates in the fall and in the winter, they want to be outdoors. And that's a perfect time to be outdoors here. So it's going to have a bar. We're probably looking at expanding the kitchen a little bit more. And, you know, the three of us are working on that together. But that is something that that is going to happen. And that's the next step in Stadium Club here in Orlando, at Carib Royale, is to get this outdoor space open, which creates yet another destination area at Carib Royale. So I'm sorry, at Stadium Club. So that part's exciting. And, you know, I think once we get that done, and we get this place running, you know, to where everybody's really happy with it, then we'll take a look and see where the next location that we potentially open is. And, you know, we get to franchising. It's funny, I'm telling you, from all over the nation, people have come to visit and either discovered it or been here on purpose. And they're talking about, hey, are you franchising? I'm in Indianapolis, for example, was one request. Atlanta was another. Dallas was another. So those are real requests. So, you know, that's a process unto itself. So we want to make sure we get everything where we want it to be and then take a look at what the future holds. And in the meantime, hopefully I'll let them chat for a little bit. They would grow with us, but they've got their own too that they're going to be growing as well. So Jeff and Janine, what's next on the docket?
Well, I think the next few months, we're really going to be working on Stadium Club, refining the brand, and really kind of taking a look at the opportunities of things that might not be working as well as we'd want them to. And in terms of the menu, maybe switching out some dishes and reinventing some dishes. But so far, I mean, everything is working really well. We want to keep refining and fine tuning until we get this brand 100%, and then taking it to the next level. So yeah, we would love to see stadium club in like all the major and minor cities around the country. So that's what we're going to be focusing on in the next few months. And yeah, hopefully we can continue to expand this incredible brand.
Listen, these two are so creative. I'm looking forward already to what next they're going to put on the menu. What's next? What's going to be some new offerings? So that's always fun. Yeah. You guys are in before anybody else. You two are in on all this. Brunch at Stadium Club coming for summer. See, you've got the scoop on this now.
I love it.
Yeah, it'll be fun. You know, we opened up dinner only because we were kind of past football season and we wanted to focus just on getting the one meal period right. So we open at 4:30 and then we run till, you know, 1 or 2, depending on what's happening. But, you know, Jeff is correct. It's the next iteration of it. And we'll be open for lunch during football season, upcoming football season. And then, you know, he's correct. There's an opportunity there for brunch. So, but you got the scoop on it now. So you knew it before I did. There you go. Oh, great.
Sam can attest to just the great business of brunch. He's written many articles for FSR about that.
Yeah, for sure.
I love it. Well, thank you all so much for your time. Great conversation. And thank you to all of our listeners out there. Stay tuned for more.
We appreciate your time. Thank you very much.